Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope you can hear the hard work of machines going on and the humming in the background of the microphone. We believe in employing as many machines as we possibly can. That's because we refuse to pay minimum wage. Anyway, I'm not sure how frustrated you are, but I can't get over how far we have how much we've discovered and how far the deep state has gone and how little anything has been done about it. It seems like I keep on hearing all of these people, it's going to happen now. Boy, things are going to be changing. And I'm not seeing it. I see that things are changing, but it seems like that old Who song, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. I don't know. But I've been pestering all of my, what do you want to call them, those who believe that indictments are coming and justice will be served. All of those optimistic folks out there, I've been, pinging them. Hey, when's it going to happen? Any day now, any day. If I was waiting and waiting and waiting on, if my life was depending on this, I'd be dead by now. But anyway, I just can't express how frustrated I am with how little justice we are seeing. And I got to ask you, do you believe that we are going to reach the level of justice we deserve as a nation of laws and as a nation that has had almost every single law violated? I don't think we're going to see that. And I believe that the only way, and here it comes, it's set up, right? I believe the only way we are going to finally undo and get back to where we need to be is by initiating the audit and the Republic review process to identify what all the shenanigans they've been up to and literally pull the rug out from underneath them and get them back into compliance. And as you know, this is the only show that talks about these types of things. This is the only show that is solution-based. I'm going to be bringing Douglas Gibbs on. He won't be on today, but he'll be on soon. We hope to have start doing some regular sound bites and discussing some issues of the Constitution. And so he and I don't necessarily agree. And so you're going to actually hear us go back and forth. And I think that's good. I think it's important to hear people that, see, we're not intolerant. We're not like the left that goes, you're hurting my feelings. I need some safe space and you've got to go away. And then you get arrested by jackbooted thugs and then hauled off and actually executed because there is no tolerance to be had for people that hurt their feelings. So anyway, as you know, this show gets into the solutions. This show is here to help you understand levels of the Constitution. I had a great conversation with Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, and there is a win coming out of the ban on guns in Illinois that has been struck down as unconstitutional. It hasn't even been announced yet. I guess the judge just made the ruling, so you heard it here first. How about that? But I was talking to him about what we were doing. I was trying to give him some, I believe, some supporting information regarding the rights of guns, the rights of militarized citizens, and how, we as the citizens are the duly responsible ones for, one, keeping the laws, enforcing the laws, keeping people in check and so forth regarding, civil unrest and all of that. And as we've read through the militia, you can see that there was a much greater design behind the militia than just simply a force waiting for an invasion. That was not the case. Kind of like your firefighters, your voluntary firefighters. Back in those days, everything was voluntary. And, today, because we live in such a complicated society, I truly believe that something else needs to occur, or we do need to duly commission everybody to some degree in the militia so that we all are taking part and all become a part of a greater organization in the community and so forth at a greater and greater and greater scale. Kind of like Wilson was talking about in the Philadelphia ratification debates, where he said that he saw that this contract was more of a contract of, you know, creating communities within the states, to the states, and a community of the states itself. And he just looked at it as a very grand social contract. Anyway, the number to listen to, I'm going to keep on telling you this, so you can put this into your phone. And if you're driving along, you can actually listen to Red State Talk Radio on the 605-562-4209. Now, coming up in today's show, I want to kind of do a summary on the militia and all the different things that these guys covered. This is really important because they spent a lot of time talking about it because it was important. Next week, or actually tomorrow's Friday. So I don't think I'm going to be able to get into the security risks with buying tech from China. But I told you I wanted to talk about this. You need to understand when you're buying any tech, whether it's phone or anything that is being produced that has some technology to it from China, like your television, any appliance, you need to be aware of the risks, period. So I want to kind of give you a good detailed perspective, and hopefully you'll start demanding some of these goods coming from somewhere else or not buy the crap. You're better off having your old appliances, your old microwave or what have you, refurbished than allowing these spies and these nefarious instruments to be coming into your home. But we'll get into that, okay? I have talked with the Patriots over there at Red State Coffee. The coffee page is up. I will do some recordings this weekend so that we can start helping you get your Joe on with your Red State Joe and your Red State Show. And so we will be putting this up on the website as well as our sponsors and so forth. So if you want to support us, and as a matter of fact, I'll even tell you this. This Joe is a exotic. I mean, most people pay good money for this Joe. And so I think you're paying about the same price, but the difference is that you're actually supporting a very worthy cause in buying Joe Red State Coffee. I can't tell you who is the real manufacturer behind the Joe, but apparently all of these elite Joes, if you haven't noticed, they kind of all come from the same place. So here's the thing. If you want to drink coffee and you're already paying this kind of money for these high-end gourmet coffees, why don't you buy Red State Coffee and get your coffee on, like I said, and your Red State Talk on. So we'll be having those commercials start running next week. And hopefully I'll have the owner of the company come in. His name's John, and we'll talk to him about how they support Gold Star families and what the heck they do with this money. The money that they actually spend, or the money that you're buying these products on, is actually going for nothing but really patriotic, conservative types of causes. So this is a great company to buy from. It's not like you're buying something from China, which is actually taking every ounce and every penny of profit that they're making off of you to create weapons to kill you. Isn't that an irony? They want to kill their consumer because they don't care. They really don't care. Anyway, we do have the GoFundMe campaign if you want to support us directly with finances. That is out on GoFundMe. The campaign is Reclaiming the Republic. We could use support. We'd be happy and honored to get, you know, whether it be direct money or if you want to get involved. If you believe that you can make an impact, and I'm telling you, you can. Everybody getting involved will make an impact. So I just say that give us an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. Just let us know what you can do or what you'd like to do, and we will help you, help us, in all of us, in reclaiming the republic so that we can get back to a good constitutionally based system. The two organizations that I also want to plug, and I always plug, the Constitution Club, Keith Borders over there. Get into constitutionclub.ning.com. Sign up if you haven't done so already. Start meeting people and start finding out what you can do. You've already missed this legislative session in getting emails sent out to the state legislators. Another organization is ourfirstright.org, and you can connect with Aaron Lee Williams and help them in getting this amendment passed in your state. There's a good chance it hasn't been passed in your state. But find out if you don't know, and then if it hasn't, then get involved in getting this one amendment passed, because I definitely support getting better representation. And Keith is supporting getting the Senate to be reappointed by the state legislators instead of the general election. That is the way to go. I'm not sure what you're doing on 17 September this year, but that's Constitution Day. And I am hoping that you're making plans in making that day special so that it is not just a normal day, if you know what I mean. And so with that, I do have a hard break. But when we come back, I'll try to get into that summation and kind of a little analysis regarding the militia and the Constitution and why it has been obscured for 200 plus years. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And I didn't mention, I got a little note from Nick Anderson. And he loves the show. He's learning. He was just kind of curious as to, you know, where this kind of content has been all, you know, all this time in conservative airways. It seems like he's not the only one. You're not alone if you've reached a level of frustration that you just keep on hearing people talking about the problems and not providing one, a solution and education behind all of that as to why we have to and how to engage. So I really appreciate the kind words, Nick. I also want to thank Lori for also making a nice, sweet comment about my beautiful bride. So thank you so much and your concerns. I will say this as well. We really, really, really do. I don't know how to, articulate this well. I'm not the best. I get passionate, but I'm not the best in expressing my gratitude and emotions. But I really appreciate, and we appreciate, your tuning in and helping us grow this show. We are definitely notching up higher up in the ranks, and so we appreciate that, and we appreciate the fact that you have to be, telling other people. So keep it up. Keep sharing this idea. Keep sharing this concept that there is a solution, that reasonable minds, equally informed, seldom disagree, and that we can all start working together and using that knowledge as power so that we can get our representatives succinctly on the business at hand in fixing these problems. With that, I do check and did check, and there is zero, no sign, not a hint that the federal government is going to relinquish any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. So what does that mean? Yep, that's right. That means you're going to have to do it, and you're all by yourself. If we fail, it's your fault, and you will wear the guilt of America. And you know that's not true. We're all trying to do this. So it's up to you and I. It's up to all of us, not just you. We all have to do this. And that's the important part here. Putting our best foot forward, putting any foot forward. Let's get some momentum moving. Let's make this year the year we commit to actually making a difference, turning this around. So with that and your commitment to doing these good things, then let me kind of just jump forward with this concept of going to Red Pill Expo. If you've never been to one, go. If you're not sure, just get the general admission. I don't know if they're doing day-to-days. We will find out because we're talking to G. Edward Griffin next Thursday. Or not Thursday. Yeah, I think it is Thursday. I think it's a week from today. Either way, I will be having him on. We're going to be talking about Red Pill Expo. We're going to be talking about the messages and who's going to be there. You definitely want to stay tuned in and find out what the heck is going on. If you live on the East Coast, which a lot of listeners do, get your tail up there. It's going to be in Hartford, Connecticut, June 7th, 8th, and 9th. June 7th, 8th, and 9th. This is an all-day for 3-day affair. It is like a convention. It is a meeting of the minds, and you will be blown away with all of the different types of information that you are going to have access to. So with that, let me also say that if you haven't looked, and we kind of have talked about this before, but I'm so frustrated with, how bad and how evil some of these players are in the deep state. And if you look at a lot of these bureaucracies, whether it be the FBI, whether it be the Department of Interior, BLM, whether it be the IRS, all of these agencies happen to be enforcement agencies as well. Why is the militia so important? Well, let's kind of go over that. As I've been telling you, the fact is that the Constitution has not been amended to change the role of the militia since it has, since the ink has dried on it. To be very clear, there were lots of demands by Mason and a few others that wanted to see amendments to the militia, and they did not stand. What that means is how the militia was defined during the ratification debates by those who were the proponents of the Constitution, then that's how the militia is to be functioning and how it's supposed to operate, the funding, and what's supposed to be going on. So the militia its primary role, if I could say that, is, you know, the following things. It's supposed to be our primary defense for the homeland. We're not supposed to have a federal bureaucracy called the Homeland Security, Homeland Defense, or anything like that, right? DHS, the Department of Homeland Security? No, we have a militia, and that's what the militias are supposed to do. What are they also supposed to do? Well, they are actually, as stated by Madison and Nicholas and a few of the other framers and proponents for the Constitution, the militia is the only source other than local sheriffs for enforcing the laws. But when it comes to enforcing the federal laws, that was the duty and responsibility of the militias. So if there are legitimate constitutional laws out there, then the militias are supposed to enforce it. But see, here's the problem. What happens if all of a sudden the federal government starts passing laws that are unconstitutional? Guess what? Kind of like the Sedition Act. The militia in 1798, 1799, based on the governors of Virginia and Kentucky, said, we're not going to enforce this. And so the federal government at that point, and people were taking note, not necessarily the good guys, but the bad guys were taking note and saying, see, here's another flaw in the militia, because if it's unconstitutional, we can't force them to do something because they won't do it. So we have to come up with our own bureaucracy to make sure they abide by our tyranny. Another thing that the militia was supposed to do is they were supposed to be the force to quell riots and civil unrest. I want to be really clear here. There is no constitutional right to public protests. As you read through these ratification debates, you have a right to protest and address your grievances with government. That's a First Amendment right. But for you to get out in the public view and in a public venue and, you know, stop, you know, traffic, or create a civil unrest to where all of a sudden Maltese cocktails are going through store windows and so forth, like Ferguson or what have you, then I'm telling you that there is no constitutional standing for that type of behavior or that type of assembly. It is the right to peaceable assembly, not protesting. And so if you look at how far we've been perverted on all of this is really important. But the militia was supposed to be the force to deal with that, so that, you know, brothers would be, you know, confronting brothers and saying, hey man, you're gonna have to stop. And as hard as that is, people start realizing that it is a far friendlier force when you have, you know, your neighbors who you know coming in and saying, hey, you can't do this anymore, than these disconnected bureaucrats from 2,000-3,000 miles away flying in with, you know, their SWAT airplanes, SWAT cars, and so forth, and putting their heels on your throat. Another thing that the militia was supposed to do is they were supposed to be the defense, and this is the obvious one, the defense against invasions and or foreign attack, as well as an attack from one state to another. They actually talked about the concept that one state could try to invade or inflict harm upon another state. That actually happened during the Civil War, right? But who was inflicting the harm or the force? And that was the Northern forces going after the states that had seceded. The other thing is the calling upon the militia and establishing martial law were inseparable. In other words, the federal government could not call martial law without calling the militia. This is Madison stating this in the ratification debates. In other words, these two things are inseparable and they're codependent. If you do not have the militia called and you try to call martial law, it is null and void. It is unconstitutional. You have to have both. They're inseparable, if that makes sense. And so when people stated that, oh, well, the federal government declared martial law in the Civil War, it was unconstitutional. They did not have the militia out, because when the militia is not called, there is no such thing as martial law. The militia was also supposed to answer the specific demands to ensure. Now, this was a unanimous demand amongst all the states to ensure that there would be no standing army in America. And look what happened. Now we have standing National Guards and so forth. The militia was also required to ensure that its members were able to be armed, and not just armed, but armed to the level of military armament. Not just a hunting gun. Your Second Amendment rights to bear arms is one thing, but your Second Amendment rights is also in connection to the militia. So we'll get into the Second Amendment and your right to bear arms as an individual citizen, as well as your obligation as a member of the militia. So we'll be right back after a couple of announcements. So please stay tuned. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Now I know that there's probably all sorts of news du jour, but there's nothing more important. Because when you start hearing the news that the IRS went in and seized a family's records and, you know, broke down the door in the middle of the night, you know, the FBI or what have you, I want you to understand that the Constitution and the framers had clearly designated that this was to be done, the enforcement of laws was to be done by the militia or the sheriffs, not some federal agency. It was supposed to be done by the states because the states didn't believe in arming and equipping the federal government to rule over them. They only delegated very specific powers, and none of them were to rule over us. Anywho, as I was stating when we were going into the break, that the militia also required that the members, as well as the citizenry, because there are two types of militias. There is the formal and the informal militia, and that's everybody is supposed to be a part of the informal militia, and then you have people that are a part of the formal militia. And so everybody is supposed to have some level of arms, but those that are in the militia are supposed to be able to have the level of arms necessary to engage in military-type operations. Back then, it was muskets, mortars, and artillery. So the men, and if you go through the history in England, those people who had, you know, money and affluence, those people were supposed to have greater armaments than just, you know, the laborers or those people that did not have that level of affluence. And they did that because they wanted to make sure that they didn't overburden everybody's responsibilities, right? So anyway, the fact of the matter is that it is the militia that is supposed to have this type of armament. Now, the question is, how many federal bureaucracies are armed to enforce laws, to come in and do things that they have no constitutional authority to do? They may have federal bureaucratic, if you want to call them, you know, regulations and policies, but all of those things are unconstitutional outside Washington, D.C., because exclusive legislation was for Washington, D.C. and Washington, D.C. alone. I'm going to get into this, and I'm going to actually, hopefully, I'll be able to give you a good broad spectrum understanding on this exclusive legislation for Washington, D.C., how it was clearly delineated and defined. That way, you know, we can actually start having these conversations with those people who think that that actually, you know, expanded in exponentially into everything when it didn't. Anyway, the fact is that almost every agency operating, whether it be the U.S. Forest Service, and I even believe the Department of Agriculture and so forth, all these guys are wearing guns practically now. Better yet, what bureaucracy that is throughout the states that are not armed for enforcement? Good luck on that one, right? Another fact is that each of these agencies, other than the military, as I've been saying, are unconstitutional unless there is an amendment for the Department of Interior, unless there is an amendment for the Department of Forestry, Department of Agriculture, the Environmental Protection Agency, so forth and so on. The protection of the citizens' right to bear arms and the existence of the militia is in the Second Amendment. The requirement for a militia is in Article 1, Section 8, and they have never been amended out. That's my whole point. This is how we're supposed to behave, and it's been centuries since anybody has even given it consideration. And it's a pretty sad day. You know, we actually did get invaded by Britain, and we did use the militias, and Monroe was involved in that, in fighting back Britain out of Washington, D.C. I mean, they came right up the Potomac and did all sorts of damage and burning. They burnt down the Library of Congress and so forth. The Library of Congress was replenished by John Adams' library and Thomas Jefferson's library. Even though the militia was maybe not prepared at the time and we just didn't have good intel on that, the fact of the matter is that they did not, after that, create a standing army. They said, we still need to have a militia. And they maintained that up until around the time of Jackson. And Jackson was the one that started subverting and perverting that. Now, to be clear, and I've talked about this many times before, the Bill of Rights is a constraint against the federal government from denying the citizens of these very specific rights that they wanted to protect, the right to bear arms. So, in other words, the federal government can't pass any law that steps on your ability to express, steps on your ability to worship, bear arms, protection from unreasonable search and seizure, and so forth. All of these things that are in the Bill of Rights, those wise men created these constraints so that the government could not do these things. And now they're passing laws like red flag laws. The 14th Amendment applied the same constraints upon the states in protecting individual privileges and immunities by the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And you've heard me say this constantly. Now, I believe Mr. Gibbs and his position on that is it didn't, but I believe it does, and I believe that John Bingham when he said that the Bill of Rights did do that, who was the author of Section 1 of the 14th Amendment? I believe him. I believe that that was the intent. Bottom line is the progressives have been using that same individual privileges and immunity clause against us in allowing them to be able to promote pornography in the public and doing all sorts of things to say it's a First Amendment right. That the state, the city, the county cannot deny you of these rights to be able to propagate pornography. But they can deny you the right to carry and bear arms? Are you kidding me? That's how perverse it's gotten. That's why we need to be very educated so that we can understand the importance, one, of the militia. And I'm hoping that many of you all of a sudden start going, you know what, I'm going to look and find out where this militia is in my local area so that I can get involved. They're organized by counties, my friends. If you live in Louisiana, it'd be by parish. The fact that the militia requirements are being ignored still to this day and that the federal agencies are obtaining the ability to apply unconstitutional force against unconstitutional laws or against us enforcing these laws is pure tyranny. The push by both the federal government and state governments, as well as local governments, city governments, and so forth, to banning guns or types of guns, types of magazines, bump stocks, any of that is a direct violation of both of the individual privileges and the maintenance of the militia. Because if you are a part of the militia, you need to be able to have these types of armaments. Sorry, folks. If you want to change this, you have to change the Constitution. If you want to defend this, then you want to make sure that we start enforcing the Constitution. It's that important and it's that critical. The only way to enforce the Constitution, to get the federal government to shut down these unconstitutional armed bureaucracies, is Republic Review. As you know, because that's what I've been telling you, right? And so I just ask that you do the due diligence, look into this, and we can move forward into, you know, getting prepared, getting things moving, and getting everybody on the same sheet. I want to also tell you, because I think I mentioned this yesterday, but this is kind of a go back. We talked about how Hillary Care was a launch or a shot across the bow for doctors and everybody in medicine. And there were people that saw that there was a lot of corporate dollars involved in getting government involved further and further. And as a matter of fact, the only reason that this has become the billionaire, trillionaire type of industry that it has become is because government is involved. I'm here to tell you that this Medicare for All is another shot across the bow. If you're a doctor, you're in medicine, you have family in medicine. That is against socialized healthcare, you better nudge them and say, hey, here's your next shot. And if you don't stop it this time, and the only way to stop it is by investing in politics. We have to start investing in those who are going to support the Constitution. We're putting forth a vetting process. We're putting forth the necessary processes that we need to implement to ensure that if a politician they come out and they say, I'm going to do these things, and you get them to sign a pledge that they're going to support these things and they will not do anything to violate the Constitution, your rights, and so forth. And if they do, then we want them to resign so that we can replace them with somebody that will actually keep their word. That's what we want to do. We want to hold people accountable and hold them responsible to what they said they were going to do. So if you know a doctor, you know somebody in the health industry, you need to get them involved so that they can actually stand up and go, okay, here we go. We've got to start investing and backing these most constitutional candidates that are out there, especially the ones that are signing these pledges for Republic Review. With that, we will be right back after this and talk more about these mandatory taxes and so forth that is kind of becoming the lunacy of the left. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so back to these calls for Trump's taxes and all of that. And so what's funny is they want to go after his taxes, but we can't get the taxes of all of our congressmen and so forth. And so here's the bottom line. If you want to make it mandatory for candidates to disclose their taxes, then you need to amend the Constitution, period. That's what you have to do. It's a high bar, but once it's in there, then every single public servant will need to disclose their taxes. So what that means is we'll probably have a hard time, maybe have a hard time finding qualified, another reason to find qualified people to become good public servants. Here's the real problem, though, because some people are saying we need to, you know, let's pass a bill right now to force Trump into disclosing his taxes. Well, here's the thing. Now that he's in his presidency and now that it's already been a process that he's already gone through, they cannot pass a law, and it's called No Bill of Attainder or Ex Post Facto Law Shall Be Passed. So in other words, they can't pass a law that's going to affect him now and his upcoming candidacy. It's too late. If they want to actually just close this door and pass a law, they might be able to. But as far as I'm concerned, the constraints over the office of the president is clear. It is in Article 2 of the Constitution and the 12th Amendment. That's it. You want to start putting constraints like it sets your age, citizenship, all those types of constraints, you have to amend the Constitution just like they did before. It's a hard requirement, and these communists do not like it. They just want to be able to wave their wand and voila, they have what they want because they're elitists. They do not understand our political system. Now, I know everybody is probably talking about this. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has been arrested. And so here's the question I have, and I've not gotten a really good answer. And what the heck happened? What changed for Ecuador? I mean, was he really that bad of a house guest that they said, you know what,
you know, the food you eat stinks and, you know, you're messy. I mean, what happened to say after all of these years that they no longer wanted to give him this protection, this asylum? And I'm going, something begs to be asked here. We need to find out what it was. And in all honesty, there may be some tune of money or something. So it would be probably be good to watch what, you know, influence have been going in as far as money or what have you, investments into Ecuador so that people could go after him and shut him down. The question is, because I know there's different paradigms out there. There are the establishment that considers him a heel and a villain. And then there are people, the rebels and liberals, I should say. And when I say liberals, classical liberals, that look at him as a hero. I don't know. I think that some of the stuff that he was taking, whether it, you know, like the military intelligence that, what's that guy's name? Bradley. Anyway, he's trying to change himself into a woman. Chelsea Bradley or Manning. Yeah, Bradley Manning. I believe that what he did was criminal and Assange should not have assisted him in getting that stuff exposed. I think that because he was committing a fraud or violating the law. I think that there are some things that even when you hack into somebody's network and so forth, you're violating the law, right? Supposedly. But I think it's important that we have somebody exposing it. I just don't like the fact that it gets compromises sources, methods, and people and so forth. And so there's got to be a better way. And I've already put that forward when we talked about Snowden. My opinion on this is that the states need to have SCIFs, sensitive compartmented information facilities, within state capitals. They need to have a certain amount of people briefed so that if a whistleblower walks into the state, whether that be Hawaii where Snowden was, or whether that be in any state, you should be able to walk into any state and say, I need to talk to somebody with high security level clearances and access. Boom. These guys go into a SCIF. You sit down and you talk to them and you put everything in front of them. And then they, because they're the overseers of the government, if the government is overstepping its bounds and so forth, it then gets, and I've talked about this, it then just doesn't sit in that one state. It actually gets promulgated so that the whistleblower sees it go and get acknowledged by all the other states. So that all 50 states is tipped off and understands that something is bad is happening and now they need to get engaged with the federal government for violating our civil rights or what have you. That's the best way to do this so that it doesn't get into the hands of the media, but it does get into the hands of those who have the authority to actually do something about it. They could have gone after Obama. They could have gone after Bush. They could have gone after these folks if they would have had a mechanism to go after them. And this probably would have been the best way to do this. But after watching watching all of this play out over the past, decade plus, I truly believe that we have to start getting the states more involved in this oversight process. And Republic Review is that process to doing that. In addition, I'm sure that you've probably watched the exchange with Massey and Kerry, and I'm convinced that we need a thorough investigation of all of these key players and their proteges all the way down the line for at least the past three decades. And when I say, you know, all these bad players, the Clintons, Kerry himself, Gore, Obama's, Brennan, Clapp, everybody that has been a stooge or a tool for Soros and the globalist agenda, all of this climate change and all of this other stuff that they're trying to create these new religions and ram these things down our throat, they need to be thoroughly investigated. There's no doubt. There's no doubt that these guys are actually just literally, they're the monkeys on the string dancing for the organ grinder. And who are the organ grinders? It's a consortium of people like Soros, Gates, and the rest. Those who have the money call the tune, those who pay the piper call the tune, something like that. Yeah. And that's exactly what's happening. These guys are literally dancing and doing the bidding for these folks that have money. I also saw a note, and actually, I'll just share this real quick. Doug Gibbs, who is in California, looks like he is going to become a upcoming refugee leaving. And it seems like California is so strapped for cash, they're now trying to figure out how much more they can tax people and go after more of their wealth. They're not done, my friends. They're not done until everything is smoldering in cinders. Everything. They want to destroy everything in California. And it's so bad that I believe that this will drive more producers and companies out of the state of California. And that is the best way to vote, is vote with your feet. Leave despots behind. Go to a state, and don't go to Texas. Texas is already turning blue. And it's sad that people that are blue, that, you know, want to institute socialism and those types of policies, why didn't they stay in California? Why did they go to Texas and go ruin Texas? Why are they going to these other red states and ruining them? It's almost like cancer is spreading. Hey, if you're a leftist, stay in California. You guys made the problem. Sleep in it. It's your bed. Lie in it. Anyway, I'd like to think that the only ones left will be the government and those wanting handouts. If that's the case, then, you know, their demise will come. Unfortunately, there's way too many people that just will not pry themselves away from their precious coastal property and the beautiful weather and everything else. I'm going, you know, Perth has very similar circumstances. You can go to Perth and have a very similar climate and very similar quality of life. So there you go. If you really have to keep that and you've got to, you know, got to maintain that kind of quality of life, go to Perth. Get out of California. Be a refugee. That is the best message you can send. So one other thing in the news, there's a few things in the news. I don't know if I have time to get over anything else, but I think it's funny or interesting that Pope Benedict has written a lengthy essay on clerical sex and sex abuse within the church. And the fact that he's trying to, you know, use the sexual revolution as the scapegoat, I don't know if that's a paradox, if that's irony, or at best, that's just a reach. Because I don't believe that these the abuses or the scandals were just limited to the sex revolution. I think everybody understood that when all of a sudden you took men and you put them into a celibacy type of lifestyle, that just doesn't work. I mean, it is a hard thing because men are wired different than women. And it's one of those things that I go, it's just problematic. The church made a long, long time ago, it was in the 6th century, 7th century, that the Catholic Church made a decision to call for celibacy because they were seeing the riches that were chasing with the clergy who were married. In other words, what would happen is the clergy's son, after the clergy died, didn't want to stay in the church. They just took the money and ran. And the Catholic Church was against that. They wanted to maintain their gold and precious wealth. I'm G.R. Mobley, and I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I'll give you more little fascinating tidbits on these types of things when we're back tomorrow. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.